Chrysostom, and by a happy coincidence, it is also the feast day of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the refuge of sinners. This feast day was granted by Pope Gregory XVI in the 19th century in favor of the confraternity of Our Lady's Immaculate Heart for the conversion of sinners, which was established at the Church of Our Lady of Victories in Paris, and then it was granted as well to the ecclesiastical province of St. Louis in the 19th century. I say it by a happy coincidence because St. John Chrysostom, his last name is a nickname which means golden mouthed because of his great oratorical skills. He was a wonderful, wonderful preacher. St. John Chrysostom reserved the most eloquent of his oratory, not so much for the denouncing of sin and of sinners, or even of the extolling of the sacred. He wrote 6 books on the priesthood and writes so very beautifully about the Mass. But most of all, I think he saved his talents for a tender appeal to sinners, so that even as he exposed the wound, at the same time, he applied the remedy. He was a very, very great saint indeed. You might say that he was undone by his own success and by his own sanctity. As a young man, he grew up in the at that time the very great city of Antioch in Syria, and was a pagan and a great orator, showed great promise for the future, until at the age of 20 he gave up the paganism and was baptized, and soon thereafter he retired into the desert caves outside of Antioch. He was so pious, so enthusiastic, so devout, and the caves were so humid and wet, that his health was soon ruined, and had he stayed there, he doubtless would have died. So therefore he saw that it was not God's will for him to be a hermit, and he came back to Antioch, where the great talent that he had, as well as the sanctity, came to the notice of the bishop, who ordained him a deacon and then a priest. And as a deacon, he was in charge of taking care of the poor, which he did with a tender and admirable success. But then he undertook preaching, and he became the greatest preacher in the empire. And because of that, nothing would do but that the emperor and the empress had to have him come to Constantinople to become their bishop. It was sort of a fashionable thing, and they wanted a man of great address and great elegance of speech and great talent. He was so popular in his home city that he had to be snuck out at night because the people would never have let him go. Well, they got to Constantinople, and as they say, sometimes more tears come from answered prayers than unanswered ones, and he was indeed a great preacher. But when he saw all of the vice and the corruption of the imperial capital, he could not help but raise his voice against it, in particular against the empress and the ladies of her court and the fashionable set of noble women of that day who lived lives not only of luxury but of even open immorality. And things came to a head one day, finally, when he had to preach a sermon on New Year's against these awful pagan games that were taking place on New Year's Day, which was a holy day, of course, right in front of the Cathedral of the Holy Wisdom, the Santa Sophia, in Constantinople. All around a great silver statue of the Empress that she had set up for herself. Because of these and similar provocations, the Empress intrigued to have the Holy Bishop sent off into exile, and he was once, but then he was soon returned because there was a terrible damaging hailstorm the day he was driven out of the city. But his reprieve was a short one, and in a short amount of time, he again earned the Empress's enmity, and because of that, he was sent off into exile, and the guards were given the order so to hound and persecute St. John that they would make a short work of him, and they were successful in that. He stopped one night for repose, it was night in September, at the chapel of St. Blaise, and there that holy bishop, who will soon come and heal our throats, appeared to him to tell him that his labors were at an end and that he would be going now to the heavenly kingdom. So he put on his best pontifical garments, and the next day he died in peace after a life of great struggle to save souls, the victim indeed of his own success. St. John Chrysostom stands out as a great saint, this is already in the 4th century, for attendance at Holy Mass, and for the reception of Holy Communion, and for confession. for attendance at Holy Mass. St. John Chrysostom didn't like the fact that people used as an excuse for not going to Mass that it was so very long. And so, therefore, he shortened what was called the Liturgy of St. Basil and reduced it considerably. And that liturgy today bears his name, the Liturgy of St. John Chrysostom. It still is, to our mind, though, a very, very long Mass, because that same spirit influenced the Latin Church to reduce the solemnities of the liturgy even more, to give us a kind of a Mass such as we had this morning, that is to say, a low Mass that is just read instead of being sung with incense and sacred ministers. But still, it is the same holy sacrifice at which, St. John says, the angels present not olive branches, but the Lord's own body. They appeal to him on mankind's behalf, saying, as it were, we are suppliants for those whom you have loved even unto death. We pray for those for whom you shed your blood. We entreat for those for whom you sacrificed this very body. Let us remember this and eagerly use that precious time of worship, St. John preached, that we may find mercy and grace for help in need. St. John, then, is a good saint to pray to for more people to understand that the most productive work of the whole day, in this world and in eternity, is assisting at Holy Mass. It is a truth that even our own people, sadly, often forget. St. John denounced sin in a very, very vigorous way, but as I say, he balanced it by giving very eloquent appeals to sinners to convert. He explained how God's mercy is such that Almighty God is never, as men are, angry. That would be impossible. God does not, as men do, chastise us or correct us in the passion of anger, because God is God. God is in eternity, and all that he does for us with infinite and tender mercy and compassion. If the wrath of God were a passion, he preached, a person might well despair of quenching the flames that his many sins enkindled. However, because the divine nature is passionless, God never punishes, nor takes vengeance with wrath, but with tender care and much loving kindness. So we must be of much good courage and trust in the power of repentance. Let us turn to Our Lady, whose Immaculate Heart is open to us on this last Saturday before the end of the Epiphany season, and beseech her to open up her heart as a refuge to all sinners. Alas, the day of great preachers. Alas, the day of frequent masses. Alas, the day of easy access to confession. Those are all past. But what is given to us and will not be taken away until the end of the world is that beautiful refuge, which is Mary's Immaculate Heart. Refuge for us and those for whom we pray today. We poor sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. St. John Chrysostom, pray for us. Immaculate Heart of Mary, refuge of sinners, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.